got in this thing and went back in time.
It must be some kind of hot tub time machine.
I didn't loop it. Oh my god.
Nope. I can still hear you too. Hey everybody. Thanks for finding the geek spot.
Yeah, man.
The crowd's excited. You can all hear it. It's great.
Crowd's excited. I got new bumps.
Oh, there's bumps? I don't even know what that is. I think that means something different.
That was a little loud, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think that meant something different back in the day than it means now.
Definitely meant something different if you were in the scene. I'll save the other one for later. How you doing, man?
So far, so good. You know, holiday week, been busy, busy, busy. Trying to get ready for it.
Yeah, man. All right, hold on. I'm going to do a refresh thing and see if that doesn't fix my comments.
No, there's nothing to fix.
No?
Nope.
No, there's two hellos.
Is there?
Yes.
No.
Click on the little hello thing. Say, look.
Nope.
Yeah. Let's see if this works.
Oof. I wonder what happens if we both refresh at the same time. What do you think happens if we both refresh?
I don't know. I don't think I want to know.
Do you think did it fix your comments?
No.
Great.
I still see the comments. So I'm just going to mute my phone and look at them down here.
Good to know.
Yeah, man. So what else is what's new?
Had a couple gigs, watched not a lot of stuff. The gigs and decorating for Christmas had me kind of bogged down. I started back up on Manifest, the new season. It's the first one of that. I'm excited to see where that ends up going. Watch that. And then there was hours and hours of Walking Dead stuff yesterday.
And hours. Don't both refresh.
There was so much Walking Dead stuff last night.
I'm going to create a little screen thing here to pop up that says, what has Frank watched or not watched?
Oh.
Like a segment.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of stuff that you have not watched.
We're going to list the stuff. We're just going to, it's going to flash up like a woo.
Oh, that's good. Everybody likes a woo, I think.
A woo. I like a woo.
How about you? What have you been up to?
Well, I did not come and see you as close as you were, obviously.
Yeah, I know. I was blocks away.
I know. Easy answer. No, look, people got jokes. A lot of people got jokes. See the jokes?
They do. I see the jokes.
Honestly, I did start to watch something. Oh, no connection. And did that fix it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I had a nice Call of Duty weekend. Was the plan all along. But based on some people's recommendations, and I know there have been many, many recommendations thrown my way for stuff to watch, I decided to give Yellowstone a try. And I'm into season 3 already.
That's quick for you. Now, but this was all like not dedicated watching. This was watching it while Call of Duty was on another screen, wasn't it?
No, this was all dedicated.
All right.
I went, the first episode was an hour and a half. It was a little long, but I went all in, pushed all my chips in, and now I cannot get enough of this show. Like, I absolutely love this show. I'm sorry I slept on it, but glad I did, because now I have, you know, they're 10 episode seasons, so they're small.
Yeah. So you're on season 3?
I'm season 3, episode 2.
So what? I know there's a bunch of prequels. So is this like current time? Is that where we're at? Or what's the deal with this?
I didn't start. Yeah, I didn't start. What has Frank watched? The audience doubled to 4. Thank you. That sounds like a Jack McKinney comment.
It is. That's Jack.
Oh, yeah. But that's exactly the
previous bash of What Has Frank Watched, Easy Answer, Nothing was Dom.
Yeah, I figured so. Thanks, Dom. No, I haven't. I started with like The Current, and I'm absolutely fascinated by some of the characters. I don't know what happens. I do know what happens at the beginning of season 5 because I saw like a blurb about it. It hasn't ruined the show. It's been, oh my God, Beth is batshit psychopathic crazy, and I absolutely love the character.
Oh, all right.
Without ruining anything, Damian Dark was in it.
Got like the character or the actor?
No, the character, that would have been interesting, but no, the actor. He and Anthony Michael Hall played brothers in season 2.
God, I wasn't sure if it was back to the UPN.
No.
Okay.
I'm going back to the UPN. But no, it's been, that's pretty much all I've been watching. I did watch the most of the Pepsi documentary that's on Netflix.
Yeah, so you were telling me about that. So you were watching, what's the deal with this guy?
So back in the 90s, Pepsi did what I think they were the first one to do one of those, like, here's the book of stuff, buy the Pepsi, earn the points, get the rewards from the catalog. Like Marlboro does, Camel did it.
Mm-hmm.
All the stuff that you want to consume lots of are these products. To consume more of these products to buy and acquire their junk. The Marlboro stuff, by the way, has been awesome. My dad got a ton of it.
You know that reports to insurance. Mm.
Yeah, he's not here.
I know. I'm just saying.
No, I know. So there was a commercial for the Pepsi stuff. And at the end of it, this Harrier jet lands in front of the school and the kid gets out of it. And at the bottom of the commercial, it says, you can get the Harrier jet for 7 million points. No disclaimer, nothing.
Yeah.
So this kid in Washington, the state, decided he wanted the Harrier jet. So he got an investor, a friend of his. Then he found a loophole around that whole house. Like, they tried to come up with a business plan, how much it would cost to get 7 million points, how much Pepsi they had to buy, where they were going to store it. And then he read the book and he found a loophole. So for if you get 15 points, 15 Pepsi points, and then for 10 cents a point past the 15, you can buy the points for what the stuff you want to get.
Yeah.
So $700,000 later, he sent a check to Pepsi for a Harrier jet. There's a whole lot of other stuff that goes involved in it, but long story short, Pepsi sued him. He sued Pepsi. They went to court in New York because the kid didn't know what he was doing, obviously. And they went to the court in Pepsi's backyard, and the court basically ruled in favor of Pepsi. So the kid never got his Harrier jet. They did refund. They did send the check back.
He did get his $700,000 back.
It was a friend of his, an investor, that got the money back. But yes, the kid never got his Harrier jet, unfortunately.
So you burned through all 4 episodes? I saw it was 4 episodes, and that's when I was like, nope.
Yeah, I got through 3.5 episodes, and then I Googled the end.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, well, there's no way this kid's getting a goddamn Harrier jet.
It was like a letdown at the end to just Google
it. Yeah, they want to see a letdown. There's enough. Yellowstone isn't exactly the most uplifting of shows either, by the way.
If you need a palate cleanser from that,
I do.
I would suggest Mythic Quest.
Yes.
It is back for season 3.
I'm halfway through 2, I think.
Okay.
The
writing is good, if not better than ever.
Oh, good.
Especially because now they're playing a little more into work drama in a different way, because now it's 2 companies. Spoilers for season 2. Since you're about to watch it. There's some splits where some people go to other places and then you get to watch how that dynamic breaks out. But all the characters are still back for the most part. And it's super fun so far. It's 3 episodes in. The first 2 seasons were really well written, especially if you're into gaming. It's all sorts of inside jokes on so many different levels.
Gotcha. I definitely need a palate cleanser because Yellowstone can be a little
Why are you yelling at us, Frank? Stop playing with that volume button above your screen.
It wasn't the volume button, it was my phone.
Oh,
I put my phone. There you go. Pete's happy.
Yeah, look, Mythic Quest is great. It's super fun.
So to start off the actual show, we have some bad news. So we'll start with sad stuff. To get the sad stuff kind of out of the way.
Yeah.
Jason David Frank, who was the original Green Power Ranger Tommy Oliver, passed away at the age of 49 over the weekend. I did not watch Power Rangers, so I'm not as attached to this one. I know a lot of friends of mine were very, very upset. Did you watch Rio Power Rangers, guy?
No. That was all post my time.
Yeah.
However, I know that he was a fixture on the con circuit and really helped bring the con circuit and show people what it meant to be a partner with the fans, not just, you know, they're as like a, you know, somebody for them to come talk to, but just somebody to interact and kind of a blueprint. And I saw a lot of nice tributes from everybody, from Bruce Campbell to Stephen Amell posted about it.
Yeah.
You know, and just how they all hung out with him and were shocked and saddened that he's gone as suddenly as he went.
The only thing I know about him is he was the Power Ranger that played the flute through the mask, right? That was the big joke everybody would make, is that he played the flute through the mask.
Sure. I don't know.
It was, again, same thing with you. It wasn't my time period of watching those kind of things, but it's terrible. This weekend was like a left and right punch. Nikki Acox passed away at 47. She was Meg Masters in Supernatural. Another show.
Yeah, for a few seasons way back, you know, somewhere along their 17 season run. she was great on that show. She's done a lot of other like small bit roles and things like that, but you know, she's part of that whole WBCW family.
Yeah.
With having done those things, and that's another a lot of the stuff says that cause of death hasn't been released yet, but she was diagnosed a year ago with leukemia. Oof. And apparently it was fairly rapid. So
Not so much in the passed away thing, but like we'll talk Marvel stuff later. But did you see the stuff about Chris Hemsworth?
I did. I didn't watch Limitless.
I was going to actually.
I still will. I just it's added to my list that is starting to rival yours. I feel like
there was an interview in Vanity Fair that while filming the show. Chris Hemsworth found out that he has two copies of the APOE4 gene, which greatly increases the chances of developing Alzheimer's. The actor found out about this genetic predisposition while getting a blood work panel for his new Disney Plus show, Limitless. So he was originally going to have a doctor explain everything to him on camera, but when the results came in, they kind of like backed off of it and said, hey, we're not going to do this. We're not going to do it on camera. And he's going to take a step back from acting for a little while to kind of, I guess, come to grips with this and kind of see if there's anything, you know, obviously when he listens to this, he'll hear that we wish him well.
Yeah. I mean, he's a regular, he listens to the podcast though. So he just doesn't comment.
Right. You're not going to see his name pop up in there, unfortunately.
Right. But,
no, it's awful, horrible news. It's been a really brutal weekend for.
Yeah, so yeah, there's a chance there for him. So he's going to take his hiatus. I don't know when he even had time to film that, as busy as the guy is.
No, and it's funny because that news came out along with news about what he would do with another Thor movie, which I have. We'll talk about that later.
Well, you got to think it's not like he filmed it last week.
No.
So he may have stepped away 6 months ago, but had to do like the Ragnarok press or the whatever horrible movie he put out.
Was it Ragnarok?
It was Love and Thunder.
Love and Thunder, where everybody gets the power of Thor.
And we end up with a kid named Love, and then he's the big old Thunder. Sure.
Sounds like a porn.
Yeah. Well, they're not related. It's fine.
No. In other Disney news. This was kind of big.
A little bit.
Former CEO Bob Iger?
Yep, Iger.
Iger is returning to lead the studio as Bob Chapek is leaving less than a year after taking over. For those that don't know, Bob Iger ran Disney from, I think it was 2005 to 2018, 19, maybe? 2020, I'm sorry.
He left like the week before the pandemic.
Right. And some of his most memorable acquisitions were Pixar, Lucasfilm, Marvel Entertainment, 20th Century Fox. So he did a lot for the company. He left, and Bob Chapek did not really have a good run.
Well, he had the pandemic hit, and like that was it. Pete has feelings.
Pete's not a fan of Disney.
About Disney.
Do you know that part of the reason why...
To paraphrase, he hopes the company folds and screw Disney.
He did not put F for respects. he was not press F for respects. His was press F for the finger. Do you know, as a side note, I was reading it, part of the reason why Lucas sold Lucasfilm was not just for the billions of dollars that he got, was that he actually believed in the Mayan calendar, that the world was to end when the Mayan calendar ended, and that he sold his Lucasfilm company weeks before that calendar ended.
I did see that.
A little bit of a crackpot he is.
Yeah, I think the thing with the Iger stuff, though, is like, so what did they bring him back for? There has to be something big coming.
Yes.
That they want to do, that they're going to need him to navigate for them.
He's also only taking a 2-year role.
Right. So there's got to be something coming up that needs to be rocked out in the next 2 years.
Something big.
So I don't know if there's anybody left for them to buy, somebody else for them to merge with.
Sony.
I don't know. I don't know if they'd be allowed to. That's a huge studio.
Save the Spider-Verse.
I'm sure you'll hit that news in a little bit. There is some Spider news coming up, right?
Is there? Maybe. The Ticketmaster guy owns a hell of a lot of shit, dude. So, you know.
Well, not anymore. They're going to start giving stuff away once all the Swifties come after him.
Well, man, do I wish.
Did you get your tickets?
I neither confirm nor deny that I'm selling 2 pairs of Taylor Swift tickets for $48,000 a piece.
Okay.
No, I didn't.
I mean, you could have gotten in the pre-sale. I don't know.
No, I probably couldn't. I couldn't get World Series tickets. That was the end of my attempting to get tickets, unless it's you two, then I would have kind of busted my ass for it.
Just look, Cooper's River Deck coming up in January.
Okay.
Mysterious Ways will be there. It's just like going to see
you. No. Look, dude, that's a great show.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
You'll come with me. We'll go
free advertising. I mean, you'll go see them.
Well, I was going to go see you Friday, but I was in the middle of, it was the DMZ, dude.
Yeah, I know. There's Call of Duty. Yep, got it.
I can't come this Friday. I got a game at 9 o'clock.
Got it.
Right.
Got it.
Got a lot of Indiana Jones news. Are you happy?
Sure. I've seen some stuff recently about this.
King, you lose. Good day, sir.
Yes.
Very nice.
A couple of the things on Indiana Jones. James Mangold revealed that Harrison Ford will significantly be de-aged in the opening scene of Indiana Jones 5. So they're going to significantly de-age him to give you that big action opening that the movie used to be known for.
So he can break his knee?
I don't think it's going to be him. I really don't think it's going to be him doing the stunts. The director also said that the script for the movie underwent many rewrites to properly address Harrison Ford's advanced years. So instead of just throwing old jokes out there, they kind of wanted to tell the story of, you know, where he was to where he is.
Yeah. Now. So you think we'll get like a close up and it'll just be him aging to where we end up at?
God, that would be wonderful. This is going to make you extremely happy now.
Mm.
Speaking with Empire Magazine, the film's co-screenwriter, Jez Butterworth. That's a great name. That's a name right out of Yellowstone.
That's a writer. It's a writer's name. They wrote that name.
Has revealed the plot summary for Indiana Jones 5. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
I can hear you groaning already. The film will take place in 1969 during the height of the space race between the U.S. and the Soviet Union. with many of the scientists behind the space programs having Nazi backgrounds, Jones is determined to find nefarious activity hidden in their explorative endeavor.
Well, that's exciting.
The simple fact is...
That's what I usually look for in my Indiana Jones is space travel.
Well, the simple fact is the moon landing program was run by a bunch of ex-Nazis. How ex they are is the question, and it gets up Indy's nose.
Got it. I mean, we already had the aliens come in Crystal Skull, so now we're going to go back to space.
Back to space.
Yeah.
They
might see Spike up there. Who knows?
No, he
or and Mutt. Well, his name was Mutt, wasn't
Mutt,
it?
Mutt and Short Round will not be reprising their roles. However, Salah is.
We'll see. Spoilers. You don't know.
No. They said that in the interview too.
Oh, well, that's true.
Already in the list of who's going to be there.
Well, we knew now, Short Round wasn't going to be there because he was way too excited to see him at the D23.
Really was. Let's change this while we're doing this. Sorry, I'm messing around now.
You're doing good. So we will, hopefully, I will have time over the holiday weekend to catch up on a Spirited and a Christmas Story story. So we can talk about them next week.
I've seen that out, and I first of all, I've never seen a Christmas Story because I was interested. And I was kind of holding off on that. I was going to try and get past Thanksgiving before I started throwing any kind of Christmas stuff out, so that's perfect timing. Background.
How? Have you not ever?
It's not my thing, dude.
It just ends up on a TV near me sometimes.
Yeah.
I've seen the original probably
100
times. Run a lot.
Concurrently all day long on Christmas?
Yeah, for two days straight. Okay. It even runs like an hour apart. I used to run an hour apart on TBS and TNT where if you were late on starting one, you just flipped to the other channel and you caught it again.
Oh, my God. I do that with Star Wars sometimes or The Office.
Now I think they do. See, Pete's done with you.
It's not my thing.
And so now I think they run Elf on one channel and Christmas Story on the other channel.
Yes, Dom. Yes. Yes. Add Hawkeye to my yearly Christmas watch list right next to Elf. That's what I'm
fair. On. Well, and Die Hard.
And Die Hard. Yeah, oh, God, yeah. And National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. See, we're talking about stuff I don't even want to talk about now. It's all Christmas stuff. We'll do Christmas stuff.
Yeah, we'll get there.
Yeah.
And then we'll do some year-end lists. We got all sorts of stuff for summer.
Before I let you run
Frank's favorite TV shows that he didn't watch yet? Be great.
A lot of them. I could list the favorite TV shows I didn't watch. Because right after Yellowstone comes Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, sure.
Millie Gibson has been announced as the new Doctor Who companion Ruby Sunday, who will star opposite Nakuti Gatwa. I got that right, see?
You did. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know much about her. She's a pretty little girl, pretty young thing.
Yeah, I don't know anything about her either.
I could say that. Say that if I want to say that. That's that. But there was a big finale that was this weekend that I definitely didn't watch. And my God, of all the show posts we posted, this is the one that got the most comments.
Yeah, yeah. Look, at some point, everybody in the world besides you watched The Walking Dead.
It seems. I didn't even watch an episode.
I mean, but it's 11 seasons over 12 years.
And I managed to see none of it.
And like, it's been almost as big of a fan presence. I mean, there's Walking Dead conventions. They do whole cons for it. It's made and broke careers. It's had babies born during the show. I mean, 12. There's 12-year-olds that were born during season one. Now it's crazy.
Crazy.
And it really made Andrew Lincoln a household name.
Yeah.
Even more than Love Actually, I would say. It gave us Danai Gurira in a film and TV roles, which we didn't have previously. You know, she is just a Tony Award winning, all sorts of stuff, that she won for plays that she wrote while she was in college and all those things. And now, then she got introduced as Michonne. We got Norman Reedus. You got Negan, who was just iconic in the history and in the pop culture and how that played out. You know, you got better cliffhangers some of the time than what you got in Dallas back in the day with what happened to JR.
Still not watching it, Dom.
Yeah, it's still not a zombie show. As contrary to popular belief, the zombies are there, but they really aren't the main factor in any of the seasons. It's in its 11 seasons, I would say there's probably 4 or 5 big arcs that go over a few seasons each most of the time.
Okay.
And where they come in up to a new group trying to survive, you know, in Georgia or wherever they end up, Virginia, you know, depending on where they're at. They start in Georgia and then they move up through towards D.C.
How was the finale at some point? How was the finale overall?
So the finale overall, it's tough because the finale was really there to set up a crap load of spinoffs, which most of them, actually all of them, they had previously announced. But then they gave you little teasers into what you were looking at with those. In the last few minutes, they didn't really wrap anything up because they didn't need to wrap anything up. So they definitely, I would have preferred about 50% less people to survive, because one of the things that the show really became known for was they had no qualms about killing off characters.
Right.
Like out of the first season, there's 2 people left.
Holy shit. On the show.
And it was only a cast of 6 to start.
And now it's a cast of like 20.
It gave us John Bernthal, the show. I mean,
oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, we can't protect Rick.
He
was Shane back on the show. You know, so it's prepped it the whole part of this season. So they got announced 2 years ago that they were going to have a final season,
right?
You know, right when the pandemic hit, it was like, okay, hey, we're going to stop all production now. Here's what's going to happen: you're going to get one more season. It's going to be twice as long as a normal season. Go. And so they had 24 episodes. They split it up into 3 different segments over the last like year and a half, where they did big story leaps through it, you know, all through connected lines as the whole show's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the finale tied up a lot of those things for the most recent one, The Commonwealth. It was well done. You got drama, you got action, you got the first time they've really dug in on special effects on this show. The sister show Fear the Walking Dead's done some more special effects in this one, but you got some great CGI explosions, little cult personality in this one.
Ooh.
Which was cool. They threw that in. But overall it was great. It's just the show's always been about the journey and where you're going.
Right.
And you know, and where do you go next? And who's part of that trip, right? So that's where we're at with the new one. So they announced 3 new shows spinning out of it. There's Fear the Walking Dead, which has been on forever, which actually one of the main first characters that was on screen, Lenny James, one of the first guys from season 1, he's still on that.
I know him. He was in Jericho.
Sure. He's also a voice in one of the games you play.
Probably.
Yeah. So he is... he's still the star of Fear the Walking Dead. They're bringing Madison Clark back this season, too, who was the, you know her. The actress that plays her is from Sons of Anarchy and Deadwood. And
Madison Clark? I can look and see who that is.
Yeah, you can look her up while I'm thinking about it. But that show has been the better show, I'd say, for the last, like, 3 years. Fear the Walking Dead was one of those shows people that started watching it got kind of out after, like, a season. They were like, I can't do it.
Oh, Kim Dickens.
Yep.
Oh, she was in Friday Night Lights.
Oh my god. Yep. So they Oh, so favorite Walking Dead villain. I see Dom yeah. asking that.
Dom asked you. Oh, go ahead.
I would have to say my favorite. So Peter just asked if Daryl survived. I'll get to that in a second. So my favorite villain is probably gonna be the governor, which is back. He was a 2-time villain, but he was just savage in what he did. And there wasn't a redemption arc. Some of the characters, like, you know, so we get to the spinoff. So the first spinoff is Daryl Dixon. Because Daryl's going off and exploring the wilderness. So it'll be basically, I feel like, a road trip with Daryl for a few seasons, seeing what the rest of the country looks like after the apocalypse. Because so far we've been pretty sectioned off into Virginia and around D.C., They did do a trip through Philly at one point, so I think we're up closer to Philly, depending on where you're at on the show.
Okay.
We get that. We get a spinoff with Maggie and Negan, because we've had this redemption arc over the last five seasons for Negan, from when he was the most hated person of all time to...
Yeah, because he killed Glenn, right?
He did.
Yeah, I remember articles.
And he killed a couple people. And Michael Cudlitz, who was great that he died off, because then he got to bring him back to direct a ton of episodes on the show. Same with multiple people that they brought back. They brought back Sarah Wayne Callies last night on Talking Dead, which was cool. She hasn't been on the show. She hasn't even met most of the cast, because she hasn't been on the show since like season three.
Wow.
Maybe it was end of season two. But so we get... the Daryl Dixon show, we get one with Maggie and Negan called Dead City, which is going to be what New York looks like
after
the apocalypse. So it's going to be completely different than all the woods and all that kind of stuff that we've seen so far, and just all streetscapes.
Will you have had to watch The Walking Dead to see these spinoffs, or was it one of those things where it'll help, but not necessary?
I don't know.
Okay.
It'll probably help.
Well, see,
so yeah. And then there's one more that you will definitely have had to watch all this for, which is Rick and Michonne.
Right.
So, you know, Andrew Lincoln and Danai Gurira are getting their own show to finally wrap up their storylines, because Rick went away from the show a few seasons ago, like maybe five seasons ago now, and the show got infinitely better once he was gone.
Okay.
Because it got away from being the story of the Grimes family.
Right.
And into some other stuff.
Saddest death?
Saddest Walking Dead death. You know, I would have to go with... I don't even know where I go with that. I feel like there's two little girls that Carol adopted one season, and I can't remember their names. But there's one where there's the one gets bitten and then comes back and gets the other one. They were two little sisters. Oh. And, you know, don't look at the flowers is the quote from back then. I think that was probably the one. And that's the one that actually got me hooked on the show. Because I didn't dive into like season four.
Did they get bit by zombies?
Yes.
There's
zombies on the show.
Uh-huh.
But it's not a zombie show.
Right. Not a zombie show.
So those are all the spinoffs, though. But the Rick and Michonne ones are going to be... It says a series now, but I thought it was going to be three, like, movies. So we'll see. But it looks like it's going to be pretty epic in scope. And Danai Gurira, with the way they showed her at the finale, is, like, probably one of the most badass characters of all time at this point. She's in, like, full body armor with a samurai sword.
She wasn't
just chopping heads off zombies in half and stuff. It's crazy.
She was the one in Black Panther, right?
She's Okoye.
Okoye, okay.
Yes.
Just making sure.
So she and Andrew Lincoln are going to have a show. They've been working on how to get all these spinoffs and get this whole Walking Dead universe set up, and it kind of got slowed down by the pandemic, but now we're going to see where all of that plays out. So overall, you know, if you're not into zombies, I get it, but the show's just kind of there. As you see what happens to society and who rises to the top and who, what it does to people, you know, whether it be teachers or priests or, you know, just the normal guy on the street.
Maybe one day I'll go back.
Yeah. Maybe I'll change its name in your Plex to Friday Night Lights, and you'll just end up watching it and you won't even know.
That's a thing.
So that's it. I would give the finale like an 8 out of 10.
Oh, that's pretty high.
Yeah. I mean, there wasn't any point where I was like, oh man, except for the fact that they could have killed about 50% more of the characters, but they didn't. And I get it. And they can always tap into all those guys later. And right. I think the problem was they got to the point where they were all kind of family off the show. And so there was less and less people that they wanted to kill off.
Right. Okay. 8 out of 10. That's pretty good. It's pretty high.
Yeah. I mean, the series overall, look, there was some rough spots in the series, but overall the series is the same for me.
Right.
There was like some seasons where I was like, oh, and everybody bailed. And then they put this new showrunner in, Angela Kang, who'd been there the whole time, but they took this Scott Gimple dude who was kind of full of himself, but is unfortunately in charge of the whole universe now. and put her in charge of the show, and the show just got leaps and bounds better. Got some great episodes that were like legit horror, jump scare, you know, dark and as good as any horror movie.
Didn't that happen when The Flash changed showrunners? Didn't it get really, really good?
No.
No. Thought it. Sorry.
Maybe the other way around. Maybe that's when it got really bad.
I tried.
I think that's when it got bad. So Angela Kang, though, since she's done with this now, got picked up by Amazon.
Okay.
So if you look this up, because Amazon is where Spider-Man's going.
Is it?
From a TV show standpoint.
Is it? Go ahead. Because I don't have that, but
you might want to look that up. Sony's taking their streaming rights to Amazon.
No shit.
One of their first plays with that is there's going to be a Silk show around the character Silk from the Spider-Man universe. It's going to be show run and executive produced by Angela Kang.
How did I miss that?
I don't know.
Oh, Sony ready to run Spider-Verse into the ground. Oh, that's a good start.
That sounds close. Spider-Man
spinoff coming to Amazon expands Sony Spider-Verse. Oh, boy.
I will say, just to put the nail in the Walking Dead coffin, so to speak, Dom said he bailed after Carl's death. It's when most people left and were like, oh, I can't, I'm checked out of this show. But yeah, it took another season or so, and they just really found their footing, and they just ran with it. The cast got bigger, and they got to explore more stuff. It was great. So yeah, that Angela Kang thing, though, she is fantastic, so I'm excited to see what she does with Silk, if we get to when that's actually going to be a show.
I'm looking at that now. Okay.
Share with the group.
Yeah, I'm trying to...
summarize?
I'm trying to get it, summarize it, and... See, Dom, that's what I said at the beginning. Kevin Feige needs to just buy them up. And that's what Shapik's there for, or Shapik Iger's there for. Maybe something's going to happen. You don't have to buy Sony as a whole. You just have to buy their movie studio. Because Sony Video Games just spent like $4 billion on Bungie. Like they bought Bungie, but they didn't, like, they're not taking creative control of Bungie, but they wanted Bungie's ability to produce a first-person shooter like game like Destiny is, so that they can incorporate that type of game into other games.
Got it. That makes sense.
Yeah. Angela Kang has been working on The Walking Dead since season 2, became a showrunner in season 9, has been tapped to oversee Silk Spider Society. This comes as part of Kang's move from AMC to Amazon, which also sees her working on projects like a series adaptation of the fantasy novel Black Sun, an adaptation of the sci-fi novel The Postmortal. Silk Spider Society show first aired domestically on MGM+, which is what the cable network Epix will soon be retitled to.
Ooh.
And it will be made available globally to Amazon Prime Video subscribers.
So wait, it's MGM+, but didn't Amazon buy MGM?
I don't know. But
or at least they bought Bond from Eminem or MGM.
Epix, which is going to be retitled MGM+, I would assume.
Got it. So, so it looks like this is going to take the Sony Spider-Verse.
Yeah, as mentioned
all earlier, around.
Silk Spider Society is the first of many Spider-Man-related TV shows that Sony and Amazon are collaborating on. But there's no official word yet on the other characters who will lead said shows.
Well, they probably won't announce until we start seeing more from beyond, past, where next to the Spider-Verse, whatever the next one's going to be.
Chris Lord and Phil Lord will be guiding this corner of Sony's Spider-Man universe for Sony Pictures TV, Amazon, and MGM. The former now owns the latter. So, yes, Amazon owns MGM.
Right. I mean, that's smart. Lord Miller, we'll see, right? They've done one movie so far, and it was fantastic. But let's see when they do their second. Because the Lego Movie 2 didn't quite hold up to the first one, so I'm hoping they buck that trend.
In the meantime, the next movie on Sony's Spider-Man universe slate is Kraven the Hunter, which is slotted for October 2023.
Even though it filmed like a year ago.
That will be followed by El Muerto on January 2024.
The character that appeared one time in one comic.
Madam Web, February 16th, 2023.
But it's Bad Bunny. Is El Muerto.
It was also recently announced that Kelly Marcel, who wrote the first two Venom movies, will direct Venom 3.
We didn't like Serkis.
I mean,
Venom 2 is awful. Don't get me wrong.
I don't think he wants to do it.
He's busy. He's trying to learn to swim.
We'll go back to the MCU in a second. I want to pop over to DC real fast. So James Gunn has sparked some rumors. As the mass exodus of Twitter keeps going and these other social media platforms pop up, James Gunn has landed with Hive.
I thought he went to Mastodon. Did he end up on Hive?
He ended up on Hive. Gunn launched his official profile, but for his cover photo, Gunn used a Kingdom Come wallpaper, sparking rampant rumors that he is going to try tackling the Kingdom Come storyline. What do you think? Think James Gunn could pull that off?
It's fine. I'd rather have a universe first. I mean, the reason, and I think the problem with all of the things DC keeps doing is they keep trying to put the cool spinoffs before the actual thing.
Right.
Right? Like, they keep trying to do what ifs instead of just doing like here's what DC is in the movies. And then they can take it and twist it.
Right. And do what you want to do with it, but get it established first.
Yeah, but they're too busy going, watch how crazy we can make Superman because it's super easy to make him a bad guy. Not that he's a bad guy in Kingdom Come, because he's not.
No.
However, that's what they all keep going to, and it drives me nuts. I just wanted Superman. I just want Christopher Reeves back, man.
So apparently, James Gunn's DCU plans will be revealed to Warner Brothers in 2 months.
I thought they were already done.
No, well, DC Studios co-head James Gunn confirms his DCU plans will be revealed in 2 months to the Warner Brothers Discovery team, but might not be made public.
I don't think they'll be made public till after Guardians. I have seen a lot of stuff about Mr. Terrific.
I have also seen a lot of stuff about Mr. Terrific.
Which I'm totally down for. The character is way more interesting than we got on Arrow.
Yeah. There is...
Oh, because you know what you could do.
Some bad... Oh, go ahead.
Before you go there. Who's the dude playing Kang? Jonathan Majors?
Jonathan Majors.
Jonathan Majors as Mr. Terrific would be unbelievable.
That'd be a steal.
Well, and you're only going to have Kang for 2 more years, so you know.
Well, what'll he be then? 74?
Jonathan Majors? 35?
Kidding.
The dude is so young.
I know, because he's going to be, he's the bad guy in Creed 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it now appears that Henry Cavill's Superman return will take a bit longer than some may have expected. Previous reports revealed that Cavill did not have a contract for more DC appearances and that no creative team was in place for Man of Steel 2. These details have once been corroborated by The Wrap, but the outlet adds that the momentum behind the project has slowed down. This is due to new DC Studios head James Gunn and Peter Safran remaining busy figuring out the long-term plan for the DCU. So,
well, we say slowed down. It's been 3 weeks.
It's been
like,
well, that's what I was going to say. Is the movie's delayed? There wasn't any movie really there yet. There was.
Henry Cavill was in his 20s when Man of Steel came out.
Right
now he's got to be 40 in a couple weeks or a couple months.
Yeah.
So let's not talk about like, oh my God, how did it not already happen? Because we're already more than a decade out.
Yeah, he's 39.
Yeah.
He'll be 40 in May. May 5th, actually.
Oh, well, look at him. It's a good birthday. It's my father-in-law's birthday set.
Oh, that's a really good one. Blah, 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 blah. Let's skirt over to Marvel and end with the Andor stuff.
Sounds good.
Do you know Jensen Ackles was almost cast as Deadpool?
He would have been great.
Yeah. I think he would have done great with it.
Yeah, I don't know if he would have been able to write it the same way.
No.
But, I mean, honestly, Ryan Reynolds just wrote Deadpool as Ryan Reynolds. So
yeah, it works.
It would have been interesting to see probably a little more grounded.
Go ahead. You grab them. I'll keep over here.
Yeah,
Dom said that DC continues to show us they know exactly what they are doing and he smacked himself in the head with the SMH. Smack my head.
That's shaking my head.
It's my head. I know.
Oh my God, you're old.
After losing Bassam to Tariq, did I say that right?
I don't know.
The
Blade. Oh, the new director. Yeah,
the old director was Bassam Tariq.
Sure, that sounds great.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe's upcoming Blade movies finally back on track with the new director and writer.
That's exciting.
Yes.
Who is it?
It is Jan Demange has been tapped to helm the Blade movie. He was the Lovecraft Country pilot director.
Pilot was one of the better episodes.
Okay.
I mean, the show is that Lovecraft Country was amazing.
The trade
should be on your list.
That when they see us, writer Michael Starbury has been hired to pen the screenplay again.
We're never getting it. It's
no filming start date was revealed for the new Blade movie. Previously, when Tariq departed the reboot, X-Men 97 head writer Bo DeMeo boarded the Blade movie to retool the script.
I mean, we're going to have to recast Blade. So who do you want to play Blade?
let's do Blade fan casting part two.
I mean, Mahershala Ali is going to be 90 by the time they get this ready to go.
I mean, the release date now says September 9th, 2024.
Jon Snow will be in the middle of his, return as Jon Snow.
We don't need any more Jon Snow, damn it. Jon Snow.
Yeah, but he's got to be the Black Knight. He's got to be Dane Whitman.
That's fine.
But Dane Whitman's only supposed to show up in the Blade movie. What do we do? I think you forget that and you just have them both in the next Halloween special and call it a day. Speaking of Halloween special, how was Werewolf by Night? Did you enjoy it?
Who?
Yep.
What movie?
Werewolf by Night. Yeah, the big Marvel Halloween show.
I'm watching Yellowstone.
Yep. Got it.
I'm watching Yellowstone. what else did I have here? Oh, here we go. Let me read. I haven't read this yet, but.
Oh.
Yeah, this is one of the biggest secrets behind the success of the MCU has been revealed by seasoned executive producer Nate Moore. Moore has worked as part of Marvel chief Kevin Feige's core team for the past 12 years. This has to do with their continuity.
Mm-hmm. He's doing something wrong. He's not an executive producer yet, I don't think.
The idea is not to be incredibly prescriptive. We don't want to lock in very smart people to ideas that might not work when they get into the weeds. So even though I've given you this document and you've come and pitched, we might, in the process of talking, move away from what we thought was the right version of the movie to something completely different. And this is just not helping me understand this.
You did a great job reading that.
I literally read it word for word and it's still blah, blah, blah.
I feel like I learned so much.
I learned nothing from this. And this, the title of this was Marvel Studios Producer Explains Behind the Scenes MCU Continuity Control Process.
Got it.
Yeah, I learned nothing from that. That was
cool. So they're trying to make sure the continuity stays right, even though they've already screwed it up multiple times, especially with the
yes.
Spoilers. There's some Namor's in Black Panther too, and so I saw two things that are interesting questions that I'd like to hear your take on.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
So when Ultron took over and was looking for vibranium.
Yes.
Had to go steal it from Claw. Wouldn't it have been easier for him to just go take it from Telecon?
What's Telecon? Atlantis? Yeah, they don't have computers. So he didn't know where they were.
You buy that? You buy Ultron didn't know how to make a vibranium finder?
Thank you for watching the channel. We appreciate the support.
Bifford a Hobbit, thank you.
Yes, thank you so much. There was no computers in Telokan.
Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. That's what we're going with. All right.
Yep. That's mine. What was the second question?
I'm
locked in here. Let's
I forget what the other one was. It was similar to that though, about like, hey, this was already kind of set up at some point.
No. So hold on. I'll start up at the top here. Pete, yes, I am looking forward to the Guardians Christmas special. Also, it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun.
I can't wait.
No, it looks like they're really doing a good job. And the fact that Kevin Bacon, the real Kevin Bacon, is going to be in it is awesome.
I don't know. They're carrying around a cardboard cutout of Kevin Bacon. So we'll see.
That's such a meta thing, though, for them. It's great.
Yeah, they went to a premiere with that.
They did. Let's see. Dom said Haley Steinfeld is rumored to be in Ant-Man Quantumanium. I think that's awesome. She can be in whatever she wants. I'm going to go back and listen to Coast.
She'll start building the Young Avengers now.
That's her song that she released, Coast.
Is it great?
Video has.
Well, she'll go and she'll recruit stature to the Young Avengers, yeah. I bet.
Her video has 40 million views.
Mine too.
Well, I thought it yours doesn't. Was 38 and climbing. Did it hit 40?
Sure.
Oh, good. Was it one of your nope. Nelson songs?
Damn. No. No, because I didn't play them because somebody didn't come to see me.
No, I didn't. We didn't actually mention that no Avengers or anybody else from the MCU showed up to T'Challa's funeral. And I don't know if they actually mentioned anything. They didn't. I know they didn't say anything about it in the movie, but do you think that they possibly just kept that as such a private, small affair that nobody else knew?
I feel like there was another memorial not shown that was more for that. However, if you think about who's the only one that really would have, that's still around that would have applied to that would have been Bucky.
Bucky, maybe.
Maybe Falcon, because they designed his new suit for him.
Cap's around. He didn't die yet.
Yeah, but he's on the down low.
He's old man Cap.
Maybe.
Maybe he shows
Who
up.
Knows? Look, it's been 75 years since Endgame, depending on how you know, the timelines are a little wonky there with T'Challa and the kid. And, you know, I guess he had the kid the year in between Black Panther and Infinity War.
This is an interesting little thing here. During a sit down with the Town podcast, MCU producer Nate Moore speaks about the original plans for Captain America 3. Moore says the team was far along in the process of drafting a story for the film that included the Winter Soldier and Zemo and introduced a MacGuffin around the Mad Bomb. I don't know what the Mad Bomb is. Is that a Marvel thing?
I don't know.
Okay. The Mad Bomb goes off and causes normal people to start fighting each other.
Oh, God.
So, Kevin.
Speaking of Damian Dark.
Kevin Feige poked his head into the writer's room and says, "So stop with the Mad Bomb. You guys are doing Civil War." Like, that was it. He just poked his head in and went,
great.
"You guys are doing Civil War." And everybody.
That's better because the other movie sounds awful.
Yeah, it really does.
I feel like the other movie sounds like it should have been on the CW. Because it was like on six different seasons of Arrow.
One of the this I have two more things for this. One of the big rumors going around about the Armor Wars change
from
a TV show to a movie is
yeah.
The return of a Marvel actor who is dead.
Terrence Howard.
No, that would be fucking awesome. Could you imagine him coming out through one of the portals?
Yes, that would be amazing.
No, it's Robert Downey Jr. is rumored to come back somehow in Armor Wars. Maybe as a flashback, maybe as the AI.
Whatever.
Something, you know? I still think they should just kind of let him be. Like, let
just
him...
make it already. Don Cheadle's going to be 67,000 years old when this movie comes out.
How old is Don Cheadle?
Don Cheadle is like 60-something.
I'm going to say he is 57. Ha!
Nah, he'll be 60 when this movie comes out.
Easily.
I mean, he has a broken back already, so it's fine. You don't have to do much with him. But
No, he can walk now. He's got the bionic leg.
Sure.
He can go.
Yeah, that's all CGI. It's fine.
So Chris Hemsworth, as we had mentioned earlier, as they were talking about the Alzheimer's thing with him, in the same breath, they've been talking about another Thor movie. And he thinks that if they do make one more Thor movie, that he has to close the book on Thor. Like, that's it. Like, either kill him or, like, ride him off into the sunset. But he does not think that there's any more story to tell with Thor. What do you think?
I think he thought that after Thor 2 also.
He did. And then Taika came in and refreshed him.
Yeah, if you bring somebody not Taika in, he might get excited again about it.
You think he's a little over to Taika?
Look, I would take Thor from Infinity War again over any of the other Thors we have gotten.
Did you...
Because I watched that again, and it's still... is my favorite MCU movie.
It's not Thor there, right? Infinity War?
No, that was Endgame.
That's right, that's Endgame.
Infinity War is short hair, building Stormbreaker, taking the power of a sun, and then that Wakanda battle, which is still my favorite battle.
Why didn't he give anybody the power of Thor in the Wakanda battle?
Right?
They could have ended everything right there.
Yeah. Because he had to have the axe, because there wasn't any power without the axe. But yeah.
Andor. Here we go. Andor
Star Wars. Yeah.
Star Wars Andor spoiler. I gotta get a Star Wars bump. Do I have a bump? That's not the
Star Wars. Star Wars.
No. That was the hot tub time machine. That's the car.
See, there you go. Dom. Anyway. Dom has my back there. See.
I didn't say it wasn't. I like that. You know that they before Andor, do you know that they put Fat Thor in God of War, right? They modeled Thor in God of War after Fat Thor, and they said it's absolutely amazing.
No, they couldn't have. That game came out in 2018.
The new one, dude. Ragnarok.
He was the same Thor in the last God of War game.
He's Fat Thor.
He was Fat Thor in the last one. You know why? Because that's what Thor looks like in Norse mythology. He's not super skinny, buff guy.
Oh. He looks like me?
Yes, with red hair.
Damn, Thor.
But yeah, so Andor. Penultimate episode.
Penultimate episode.
I mean, we got probably my favorite of all time live action space fighter scene.
Absolutely in my top five, probably top two.
We got Bix on her last whatever. She's just about had it. Mon Mothma is looks like she's going to take a turn and her daughter's going to go away.
Yeah. The poor robot. Tell me that was so sad.
Yeah, we get Andor's mother passing, which is a shame because she was such a great character. And I really thought they were going to send her out with a bang.
Yeah, no.
Like, I thought she was going to knew she was going and go suicide bomb the Imperial.
But the robot, it was so sad. Like, I was like, oh my God, that's heartbreaking.
Here's what I'm praying happens, which they won't do, but it would be awesome if the robot ends up finding Andor again and going and becoming K2SO.
I kind of actually had that same thought at some point that would be, I mean, they might. That'd be awesome. But, okay, so Luthen's ship.
Oh, my God.
Fondor.
It's the greatest ship ever, and I don't know why every ship in Star Wars wasn't like this.
Like, what the hell? That was so...
So that ship was... So the design of the ship was first seen in Solo and was built for that movie.
Okay.
And that's where we got it, and the fact that, like, how do you not have shrapnel, chaff that you can throw out of the back of your ship for these tractor beams? Like, oh my God, it's brilliant.
Yeah. Well, now...
And then the dude has lightsabers that shoot out the side of his ship.
So, means that he was able to blow the dish up like that with the shrapnel. When the Millennium Falcon is captured by a tractor beam, there's no big dish. Do you think maybe this was part of that? That went into the design of the Star Destroyers?
I feel like there was one, wasn't there?
No.
Underneath?
No, it came right... I didn't see a dish.
I feel like there was one underneath that they would show with that.
I'll have to go back and look. Maybe George just didn't think of that back then.
Maybe they watched Spaceballs instead of Star Wars when they did that, because Spaceballs definitely had the big dish, because then they jammed them.
Yep, they jammed them. No, I mean, I thought, look, a couple of the episodes have moved a little slow at parts, but there hasn't, I don't think really there has been a bad episode of Andor.
No, I keep saying it, and I will continue to say it unless this next episode tanks, but it is the best written Star Wars show that we've ever had. Like, the monologues are legit monologues. Yeah.
I like the fact that, again, I've said this, I think, every time we talk about Andor, there's no stormtroopers, really. There's no lightsabers. There's no Force. There's no Jedi. There's no Sith. It's just characters. And it's the little people that are actually fighting the war, not the big people that are directing the war. And that's something that's been missing from this franchise all along. You know, I get the farm boy comes and, you know, Cracker Boy Luke Skywalker overthrows.
Yeah, it's a war movie. Like it's what was going on behind the scenes that allowed the pretty little, you know, farm boy with the laser sword,
right,
to do his thing, because all these people did all this work to get it there, which is a super compelling story to tell, and especially how they're doing it.
Absolutely.
You know, I was one of the ones that was like, all right, we'll see what happens with this show, whatever. I really don't care about Andor at all, and I'm like so in.
Yeah, no, I really, and now the sad thing is we got to wait over a year for the next season to come out.
Always. We always have to wait over a year anymore. That's how,
what comes out,
that's how first streaming works.
What comes out first, House of the Dragons 2 or Andor 2?
What do we get? I think it's Andor. No, I'm sorry. No, I think it's House of the Dragon.
You think so?
I do.
Okay.
It's less episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, but way more CGI in House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Gonna get all the dragons in.
See how season 2 goes for this show? I still don't think season 2 we get. I think we get a lot more Empire. I think we don't get any more mystic priests with laser swords.
For what? Andor?
Mm-hmm.
Well, good. I don't want any.
So who do you think makes it through? Do you think everybody makes it through this week?
No, I don't think so. I love that hot D-dom. I don't think everybody makes it through. I will, before the episode starts, I will write down who I think won't make it, and fold it up, and show it next week.
I will say who I don't think makes it. I don't think Luthen makes it.
That's kind of who I was leaning towards.
I did also hear, and this isn't spoilers at all, but there is a post-credit scene finally on the finale.
Yes, I did see that also.
Because for some reason they let people watch the finale a week early. I don't know how that works.
Really?
Like press and stuff got to watch it a week early.
I will go out on a limb, and I'll make these two predictions now. Saw and Andor make it through this episode.
It's a good guess. And the guy he escaped with, they reunite at some point.
Yes, and that guy. Those are my two.
Yeah.
I also, I think they're going to try and find a way to bring Andy Serkis back in season 2 at some point in some way, even if it's just like a cameo somewhere of he survived. I don't think they kill him off.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah. But, and that's it. This was actually an almost on-time show tonight.
Yeah. So, as always, thanks, everybody, for finding the Geek Spot. We'll be back next week where we will start kicking off the holiday season and the end-of-year festivities for the show. Make sure you tell a friend if they missed the live stream. They can always catch us on iTunes or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast streaming. And, drop us a rating, drop us a review, and we'll talk to you all soon.
I got to get better at that.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone. Hope you all have a wonderful holiday.
Bye.
Bye.